Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
And I'm hoping everyone can hear me right now, because at 12:30 I was on, but I think I was having some audio problems. I had to reboot my computer. And the subject I wanted to talk about today is, where is home for Americans, the ones who were not American, Africans. Where is home for Africans, the ones who were born outside of their homeland, the ones who were born in the West Indies, the ones who were born in America, the ones who were born elsewhere? Where is home for us? Where is home for Africans? And I was in a meeting this morning, and that was something that we talked about. And one second. And it puzzles me. And I've always said that were I not a blogger, or were I not doing what I'm doing, I would probably be a comedian or an actress, because you almost have to delve into something that's not real. You almost need to find yourself in a space that is make-believe, because this world is unbelievable. It is unbelievable what has happened to Africans, to black people in the world. And when I talked to, and this was a male, when I spoke to this male, and he woke me up this morning and introduced me to a comedian, and I have that posted on nakeddeparture.com. You can go to the chat area on nakeddeparture.com and see where I have uploaded a YouTube video, and it's 3 hours long, and there are shorter ones, but at least you will get his name, and you can listen to him, and yes, he's laughing, and he's funny as hell, but the message and the things that he was saying, I could just imagine that if he were a very, very intelligent person, the things that he could say would blow you away. But are we being blown away? Are we getting serious? Are we understanding the predicament we're in? I don't think so. I don't think so. And like I said, sometimes you want to go into a world of make-believe, because you just cannot bring yourself to believe reality, because they say that truth is stranger than fiction, and that's what I'm seeing every day. Where is home for Africans? Where would you go? Where would you go if the indigenous people all over the world were to say, get out? Get out. Where would you go? And why didn't Africa start a war? And that's something that the comedian said, and I blog on that. And the synchronicity of things really is interesting, because I blog on that a couple weeks back, and he said it, and he probably said it before I said it, but I never heard of him, and I didn't hear of him speaking. speak of it. I didn't hear anyone speak of it, but these things come to me, especially when I do a long run or if I'm really, really tired, like if I'm doing a hike and it's like I'm at my last breath, I have these things just come into my head. And I always wondered why didn't Africa start a war? We saw the United States of America, which is a country of immigrants, start a war because immigrants were killed in a terrorist attack. Now, there was a terrorist attack and there was a genocide and millions of Africans were kidnapped, stolen, sold out of Africa. There's a place in the Caribbean that's called Barbados. We all know a place called Barbados that they said it started out as a lab. It started out as an experiment. Why didn't Africa start a war? I mean, there's more than enough reason for them to start a war to get their people back. So when this comedian talks about Africa and saying, not even Africa cared. Not even Africa cared about the millions of lives lost. They didn't care. And then we wonder why we are so fractured. We wonder why there's no sense of family in most Africans' homes, the ones that are outside of Africa, because we're not really too sure about what's going on in Africa. I am not. I'm not there day to day. And you can only speak from what you see on the outside. And you know that there's a fracture. There is something going on with the men and the women. There is something going on with family, black families. It's seen mostly in the islands, in the Caribbean islands. It's visible. It's in your face what's going on with the family setting. It's not as though people are not having children. They still continue to have children, but there's no father in the home. And it's not as though people are rich, but they do know how to use their body to make ends meet. I've talked to people, men, who say that they would talk to a girl, they would talk to a woman. It's all good and fine, but from the time they get intimate with that woman, he hears about a water bill. Oh, I have a water bill I have to pay. Oh, the light bill was really high this month. I have this light bill I have to pay. You don't hear it. You don't hear it from they say that they didn't hear that kind of talk from the woman prior to them getting intimate. So what happened to us? What happened to Africans? And why didn't Africa? We're going to ask this question, and somebody's going to have to call in and tell us and enlighten us, why didn't Africa start a war? And to think that they fight amongst themselves, they kill each other, they call it genocide. It's a genocide within their own people, within their own land, a genocide. A civil war. They're a war against each other. So there's really no place for Africans who are outside of Africa to go. There's nowhere to go. So when America, or when the Caribs and the rightful owners of these islands come and say, get the step in, get out, where would you go? Where would you go as the Native American? they don't call themselves Indians, the Native Americans. Where would you call the Native Americans asked you to leave? Now, this sounds all hypothetical because no one can see something like that happening. But the world has been turned on its head several times. History supports it. The world has been turned topsy-turvy, upside down, many times. In the twinkling of an eye, things change. So where would black people go? And then this comedian, the same one that you can find on nakeddeparture.com, he spoke of something that I blogged on recently also, because we all know that the white people, they run from black people. Anytime the black people come around, they move. You know, it's like, okay, neighborhood is going to the dogs, the neighborhood is becoming ghetto. So white people always are on the move because they're running from living around black people. They don't want to live around you. I don't think this part of what I said was recorded because, like I said, I had audio problems earlier for my 12:30 slot, but I was saying that even in little tiny Barbados, I don't think that most black people know where the white people live. White people are there and running things. White people have the jobs. They go on civil applications to get jobs from the white people. But I don't think they know where the white man lives. And if they even get within the perimeter of the white man's property, there's an alert. There's a guard. May I help you? You didn't even know you were on someone's property and you hear someone's voice on a speaker saying, may I help you? So you don't even associate in these small, tiny little islands. You don't even associate outside of working. You do not associate with the white man. They don't want to live where you are. And where their property is, they are going to increase the real estate tenfold. They don't want you there. And instead of telling you that, they make it impossible for you to afford to live in that particular place. And not even, it's not even a matter of being able to afford it. Sometimes it's not even sensible to buy real estate for the amount that they want, when you can go a mile or two out and get something that is more pleasant to the ear, pleasant to see on paperwork. You know, you can more understand the figures. But then to go to live around the white man, and you become like the new white man, because maybe he has employed you to run his bank or his insurance company, and you're making some cash and you can live around the white man. They don't want you there. You're tolerated. They don't want you there. And then as this guy was saying, which I have blogged about, then there is slavery. They want you inside their houses. They want you inside their bedrooms. They want you inside their kitchens. They want you inside. They want to look out in their yard and see you. They want you all around them. You're going to have all types of jobs. There's no such thing as unemployment when there's slavery. There's no such thing as the white man don't want black people around them when there's slavery. So it's not hard to understand these concepts. They're in our faces. It's not hard to understand what I'm saying because you live it. You're living it. You know it. So do you need to become a comedian to be able to get by in this life? Do you need to become an actress to get by in this life? Do you need to always have your head in the sand to get through a day? To get from moment to moment, how do you know you're a slave? You ask. How do you know? What is the measuring stick? And the measuring stick is not really a big measuring stick. It's pretty simple. It's pretty thin. It's pretty small. You are a slave if you are employed by someone else. If you can say you have a boss, you are a slave. If you filled out an application for work, you are a slave. You are a slave. If I were to have employees, I would treat them as slaves because I would think that you're stupid to come and ask me for a job. And when you come to ask me for a job, you've elevated me. I'm your boss. I'm above you. I can stop you from paying for your car. I can stop you from making that mortgage. I can stop you from feeding your children. All I have to do is fire you, demote you, put you on leave, whatever. But I am in control of you. And if you make me be in control of you, you are my slave. So it's not a concept that's hard for me to understand. That's why I can never have an employee. I would never want to have an employee. I would never want to have a business that is so big that I have to hire people to work it for me, because that would make me feel very, very bad. I wouldn't feel good being an employer or being someone's boss. I don't want it for myself. I don't want it for anyone else. So you're going to say, well, should we just stay on the block? Should we not have a job? Should we not do it? Only foolish people talk like that. But I'll respond. I'll help you out. But I'll give you some clues. Let's say that I were to have a business. I'm going to need somebody to do something. You always need people. People need people. But what I would try to do, let's say that I were to have a great idea and I wanted to share, because information and ideas are for everyone. For everyone. You're supposed to share your ideas and you're supposed to share information. So let's say that I had a brilliant idea. I would encourage probably my brothers and sisters who were not employed, who could use money, to work with me on that idea, and they would have to incorporate. Maybe, let's say that I needed a computer person, I would encourage that person to become a business themselves. Let's say that I needed a maid and people, what you call janitor and janitorial services, I would encourage the person to incorporate themselves, become a business or a company or whatever, become that unto yourself. Whatever I need, and in whatever capacity I need it, I would encourage the person to be a boss unto themselves and let me know, well, I'll let them know what services they need, what I need for my computers, what I need to keep my company going. And they would tell me how much it will cost them, and they would do the work. I don't need to tell them when they can take vacation, when they can take lunch, how much time to take lunch, nothing like that. All I need to know is you're going to get the job done. And you have your dignity. You're not my slave. And I keep my dignity. I don't own slaves. So there are ways that we can all come together to work a business, to work a great idea, and you don't have to be a slave. You don't have to have someone saying you have to be here at 8 o'clock, you have to take lunch at 12, and you cannot leave before 5. I cannot imagine someone saying that to me. I cannot imagine punching in a card. And if you're doing that, you are a slave. If you have to wait for someone to tell you when to eat, when to go on vacation, if you have enough coverage, insurance, whatever you're calling, to go to the doctor, whatever, if you are waiting for someone to give that to you and to decide if you are worthy enough to have it, you are a slave. You are, if someone can fire you at any given time, you are a slave. Because the way I see it is, if you're working for someone, they should need you as much as you need them. So they can't fire you, because if they were to fire you, they're destroying a part of who they are. So when you are working with someone, you have to become part of it, part of whatever is going on. You have to be part of it. You have to understand the importance of you being there. You have to understand that the company or whatever it is you're doing cannot happen unless you are there. So you have to have that vested interest in that particular company and that particular person that you're doing everything to get. It has to be a coming together of minds where no one is the boss and no one feels subservient. Everyone is important for that thing to get done. And no one has to ask permission to go and eat or to go on vacation, because even on your vacation, you will know that you have to have someone there to cover just in case something happens. And when you go to eat, you have to know, well, I'm going to lunch, but I have to make sure that I have enough fire in the hole to make sure that things keep burning when I'm at lunch, because it's important to you to know that that happens, because someone else is depending on that to happen. And that person that you are burning the fire for, they have their role. They're doing something else. And they know that they have to do that, because for them not to do it, your fire will go out. So everyone, it has to be interdependent. You have to all come together and work for that particular goal. And you have to understand that you're still all free. You're not slave. You're all free. And you do it because you see that it's necessary. It's important. It's important because you want that car. You want that house. You can go to the doctor if there's an accident. You want to know that if you get your wife pregnant, that she could have a good doctor and she could be in a private room just having the baby. So you do things as a group, as partners. You do things with good intent. You do things being morally upright because you know it's important. And in cases like that, that's why some people have family that they work with. They work within their family setting and the in-laws, because that's just the way they grow their particular company, where no one feels as though one is better than one. You're not supposed to feel that way. It's not something, that's a weak link. So if you are not too sure about whether you are a slave or not, I just told you what you are. If you're working for someone and you have time to go to lunch and time to leave and time to arrive, if you feel that if you do something wrong, you can be fired, you know, whatever. If you are made to feel that way, you are a slave. And like we said, we have to create something better for ourselves. We are hearing a rumbling. There is a rumbling. When I listen to comedians, and yes, you can get a good laugh, but when you listen to these comedians that are clued in to what is happening around them, they will tell you what time of day it is. They talk about white cops not shooting white people. They know what the jails are all about. The jails are slavery. Thank you. If you are black and you are male and you haven't been into a jail, you are lucky. You are damn lucky if you have not seen a jail. Now, even for women, you'd be lucky if you have not seen the jail. Even your own men will call the cops on you. You could be sleeping with someone one day, and that same person could dial 411, 211, 911, whatever three-digit number it is in whatever country you're in. Your own loved one, your own partner, someone that you were cooking for, cleaning for, washing their clothes, whatever, they will call the cops to put you in jail. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Black people are endangered. They have egos, and they have certain fish and certain animals on the endangered species list. They need to add black people, black men, black females. They should add us. We are endangered. And not only from the white men, from ourselves. We are endangered. We are a danger to our own selves. So where would you go if no country wants you? And you are black and you came out of Africa, your ancestors came out of Africa. Where would you go? Where are you going to go? I know Whitney Houston, where do broken hearts go? So where do broken black people go? Where would you go if no country wants you? If all the indigenous people were to say, get out, we're back, get out. Where would you go? So, I had one person in talking to me, but he doesn't have any questions. I think I'll go on to make a departure because I had to reboot my computer. A lot of stuff was going on at 12:30, so that's why I'm talking a little later. But, I'm in the Naked Departure website. I'll go to chat and see if anyone has any questions. In fact, someone was saying to me earlier that black people, they were saying that I have to remember that black people jumped off boats and black people were fierce and did not want to become slaves, because they said that in relation to a blog, a post that went up, because even this comedian was saying that Indians were not slaves. What kind of blood is running through certain veins that certain things can or cannot happen to them? Why are black people different? Why? Indians could not be slaves. It's not as though they didn't try. It's not as though and killed and raped. Probably incest. Not incest, but sodomized. It's not as though what happened to black people did not happen to anyone else. I think that when they were trying to build up their riches and the world, it was an equal opportunity kind of situation. So why is it? Why were black people broken? And what happened to the lab that they did the experiment of turning a human into an animal?
The rest of this particular blog, the rest of this particular show can be accessed on nakeddeparture.com. I thank you so very much, my blog talk listeners. Go to nakeddeparture.com for the last part of this particular webcast. Thank you.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the link. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Winds by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.